Kim McLean is a better Bible student than I. No joke. I sent Kim the scriptures for today, and this morning she walked up to me and said, "It's so clear why you picked these two scriptures and put them together." And I looked at her and said, "I didn't get it." It's the truth. I knew I wanted to use the Acts 2 text. It's Pentecost. But I was struggling to find an Old Testament text to put with it. And so there are many, many sources online where pastors can go and get ideas for Sunday morning. So I went to my favorite. It's called TextWeek.org. And TextWeek.org put the two texts together and began to describe why. What you saw, but I hadn't seen. Here's what's going on between these two texts. You see, in Genesis 11, the people of God had come through a long passage. If you know the book of Genesis, you know chapter 1 and chapter 2 is idyllic. It's the people's time in Eden. Everything is good, very good. But in chapter 3, when the snake shows up, things begin to shift and change. In chapter 3, Adam and Eve eat the apple. In chapter 4, Cain kills Abel. In chapter 6, the sons of God, angelic beings, come down and consort with the daughters of men. In chapter 7, we have the flood. In chapter 9, Noah gets very drunk, and his son, one son, sees him in nakedness, and that disobeys the laws of God. And by chapter 11, God's people have said, "We have found where we want to live." First line of chapter 11 is that the people were all together and they spoke one language and they settled all together in the plains of Shinar. And then they seek to build this tower to the heavens to enter the realm of God, to say to God, "We're just fine where we are. Whatever plan you have for us, you might as well shelve or make up another people, because we've chosen where we will put down our stake. We plan to remain in the plains of Shinar, no matter what you have in store." God comes down and investigates what the people are up to and looks and sees their disobedience, which began in chapter 3 and has followed them through chapter 11. And God looks for some sign of hope, but nowhere. Nowhere in that story of Babel do the people hear God's voice. Nowhere do they seek to listen to the word of God, and nowhere do they act as if they are God's chosen and God's beloved. They will not hear, they will not listen, and they will not act. But I still didn't see it. You see, God chooses in that moment to confuse their language and do to them what they did not want done, scatter them. But I still didn't see it. That it takes from Babel to Pentecost. For what God does at Babel, the confusion and the scattering of God's people, it's all undone at Pentecost. There's no more confusion. Elamites and Medes and Persians and people from Mesopotamia and Phrygia and Pamphylia, Cretans and Egyptians. The people from all over the face of the world gather and they hear. They gather and they understand. They gather. And in verse 6 of Acts 2, the first thing it says is they hear the sound of the mighty and rushing wind. They would not hear God at Babel, but in Jerusalem on that Pentecost day, they hear. But hearing is nothing but our body's response to electrical stimuli. We hear even when we don't want to. We do not command our body to hear. Our body hears for us. They not only hear in verse 6, but in verse 14, it says they listen. To listen is to attend. To listen is active. To listen is to willingly engage. God's people in Babel would not hear, they would not listen, and they would not act. Oh, but when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they heard the wind. They listened to what Peter said. And if you read all the way to the 47th verse of Acts 2, what you find is that the people come to Peter and they say, "What must we do?" They're willing to act. What was divided at Babel because they would not hear or listen or act was now united at Pentecost because they would do those very same things. What once was torn asunder was now gathered in a room. And at the end of that story, it says they repented and were baptized, and 3,000 souls were added. Beloved, what a lesson for us that when we find ourselves divided, we must hear, we must listen, and we must come together and act. And the challenge for the 21st century church right now is that we are divided. We look way more like Babel than we look like Pentecost. If you look through churches, mainline or otherwise, Catholic or Protestant, there's a generation missing. If Megan were not here, if Johanna were not here, if Kira and the Truxell women and Jason were not here, we'd be an average age somewhere north of 60. I'm being kind. And we are not alone. We are divided and we are missing a generation. And in the middle or just past the middle of your bulletin, you've got some data that I really want us to hear and listen to and maybe be brave enough to act on. There's an author. His name is David Kinnaman. He's written two books. His first book is called Unchurched. That's research on young people in their 18 to 30 who never went to church and why they will never darken the door of the church now. That book is Unchurched. But his second book, You Lost Me, is different. In this book, Kinnaman interviews over 5,000 18 to 35 year olds who grew up in church, who loved the church, who participated in the church, who gave their heart and their lives and their time to the church, and now they are gone. You lost me. What once was united is now divided. Where once the church had all of the generations present, what once was united, now divided. And you see on this page the six reasons. There's a chapter for each one of these reasons in this book. You see on this page what Kinnaman tells us are the reasons that young people have left. He tells us that they see the church as too shallow. In other words, we offer very, very simple answers for very complex problems. He says that the church is overprotective. We don't want our children in places where they might see sin because they might fall prey to it, as opposed to teaching and giving them the strength to know and to speak to it. He tells us that the church is anti-science and repressive and exclusive and afraid of doubt. He tells us, speaking to 5,000 young people who love the church, that we are divided. What would happen, beloved, if the church of the living God really began to hear the call of a generation, really began to hear what it is that has broken their heart about the church? What if we really began to hear, and not only hear, but to listen? I have talked to so many of you in this church who have children in this age group who are far away from the church. And I've seen pictures of them when they were young in this church. They are good men and women. They have wonderful souls. You have raised them well. I don't judge them at all. In fact, I want to talk with them. I want to hear from their perspective what it is that we did as the church that somehow allowed us to lose them. I want to know. Because I believe that what happened at Pentecost is worth pursuing. I believe that what happens when men and women come together with their differences, when men and women come together and can find an essential truth that God is love and wishes us to be that evidence of love in the world, when we can find an essential truth that sin is real but it's not fatal because God's grace covers a multitude of sin, and that sin is forgiven at the drop of a hat when we come before our God. I want them to know this essential truth that there is power in the gathering of those at Pentecost and in any community that holds God at the center. I want them to know that we wish to go out and change the world with love, that we wish to go out and embrace, not judge the world. We wish to go out as the church of the living God and serve the world. Because one of the things Kinnaman says in his book is that our young people have found everything the church can offer elsewhere. Want to serve the world? Hang out with Feed My Starving Children. Want to gather in groups and enjoy community? Join a social organization. Want to have absolutely wonderful study? Find a TED Talk group. We've lost our distinctiveness in their eyes. And I know, I believe in my soul that who and what we are is constitutive to life in its fullness and its abundance. But we face a crisis because we've lost them. Oh, if we could do what they did at Pentecost, if we could really listen and really hear and then act. Kinnaman gives us 50 ideas for acting in his book. And I'm just so interested in the way he does this. There are ideas for everyone, ideas for the millennials, ideas for the next, for parents. And don't blame the proofing on Margaret. I didn't give her this one to proof. And there are ideas for church leaders. What if we would act? What if Johanna would tell me what would make church really better? And it might not have anything to do with 10:30 on Sunday morning. It might have to do with meeting to study and then go do something. It might have to do with Thursday afternoon over a cup of coffee, one-on-one. What if we were really willing to act? On the day when Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered from around the world. They were gathered from every age group. They were male and female. They were young and old. And Peter goes on to say in his speech, on this day, my spirit is going to fall on your sons and your daughters. Your old men will dream dreams and your young will see visions. That means they were all together in the same room. Oh God, let the day of Pentecost come more fully for us, that we might gather from the far corners of our world those who are not here, those who would love the power and love the community and love the glorious nature of serving a living Christ. Let us be like they were at Pentecost, listening and hearing and having courage enough to act. Even and especially when we don't have all the answers. You see, I chose the closing hymn because it talks about taking our masks off. I chose the closing hymn, even though it's not the tempo that I want, because it talks about coming with our questions and our doubts. I chose the closing hymn because it speaks about our gathering with all that we are, good and not so good, open and not so open, but real and really together. Out of need and out of custom, out of need, we've gathered in this place. Gracious God, on this Pentecost day, make the red of this day the flame that is within us to go and talk with those who are not here, to find out what it would be to call them back to the center of your heart, whether it looks like our church or not, that they might come and out of need and out of custom gather together to know you better, to serve your world more, and to have your Pentecost power. Oh God, may it be so. Amen.